manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Jesus manifested his own glory by the glory of his Father to his disciples when he showed them that he had the power to turn that water into wine at the marriage supper of Cana. Saints of God, we have an awesome power. We have an awesome leader in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's get on board because our time is running short. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I was challenged again because so many of us deal with issues and circumstances and situations in our lives where the enemy, he knows he's defeated, but sometimes we don't know it. And even if we know it, we don't act like it. And listen, faith is acting on what you know, not on what you don't know. So if you know what God has said, your actions upon what you know is what moves God to manifest what he has said in your life. Let me ask you a question, because this will determine whether or not this lesson applies to you before we go any further tonight. How many of you will say, as you have grown in your Christian life, that there are some areas you've gotten together, you have grown stronger in, you know that you're better than you used to be in some areas of your life? You know that. You've worked on it. How many of you know that even you've got some areas of your life together, there are still some others you're working on? All right. Well, this Bible study is for you. Tell your neighbor, this is for you. Amen. If you ain't sitting next to nobody, you might need to say, this is for me. Amen. Because what the devil wants us to do is always focus in on those weaknesses and on our flaws and our fractures and our failures, etc. But again, when we begin to understand, how many of you know that you haven't received the benefit and blessings of the Lord because you've been obedient in everything he told you to do? You know that's not why you're blessed. In spite of you, he blesses you. When you know you didn't deserve to be where you are, have what you have, or have him continue to look beyond your fault and meet you, you know it's because of him. Well, why is it then when you get in situations of chaos and challenge, you forget that God is in control, that God has got this thing fixed? We're going to talk about tonight, again, where we're going to. We need to set these things in cement in our convictions, so we don't have to keep vacillating, because that's where we suffer defeat. When we act like we don't know God is in control in the midst of chaos, in the midst, say it with me, God is in control in the midst of chaos. Now, if God is, and his word is chock full of examples of him being in control in the midst of chaos, understand this. Chaos don't control God. God controls chaos. What am I saying? Chaos. Well, I want to share some words with you before we even go any further, so I don't even have to waste a whole lot of your time dealing with preliminaries. These are some focus words that are going to be in our study tonight that I want you to get a clear understanding. You know them, but I want you to see them defined and get a better understanding. First word is overrule. Overrule. An overrule is to disallow the action or arguments of a person, especially by virtue of higher authority. To rule or decide against. See, to declare null and void. Now, what you've got to understand is if God is in control, he has the power to overrule. Overrule just says that he can disallow the action of another person or arguments of another person. Do you know Satan goes before God and tries to accuse us daily? Satan made his report on me this morning. The Lord disallowed it. If he had not, because of Jesus, I wouldn't be here tonight. Now, how many of you know everything that the devil goes before God trying to accuse us, we are not innocent of? Some of the stuff is right. He ain't lying on us about all of it. Now, some of it may be untrue, but by and large, a lot of what he's telling God, God already knows. But Jesus' defense is, I paid it all. See, when I go before him, and it's not, and I remind us again, it's not a license for us to sin, because we as Christians are called to a holy lifestyle. But before God ever saved us, he knew every sin we would commit, every fault, every mistake, every mess up, every mishap, every word that shouldn't have come out of our mouth. He knows everything we've done. And when Jesus paid for our salvation, he didn't pay it on layaway plan. He paid it all. In full. And the devil tries to keep me from knowing my rights and knowing that it's not because of me that I am in the place of grace. It is because of Jesus Christ and what he decided to extend to me, and I chose to accept and receive from him, that made it an ironclad deal. He won't walk away from me. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I love you with an everlasting love. He's married to the backslide. That means if anybody miss it, it's me. If anybody falls short, it's me. If anybody who don't hold their end up, it's me. And even when I miss it, he's still saying, come on back home. Arms stretched wide open. So understanding this means that he has the power to overrule every situation concerning me, around me, in me, and because of me. So that means that God is sovereign. Sovereign. Listen. Next word is chaos. Chaos. A state or place of total confusion or disorder. We've already acknowledged that there are some places in our lives that are in a state of total confusion or disorder. Or there's a place in our life where there's total confusion or disorder. We might have it together over here, but man, when you look at this, God. I mean, it's like people can't, you know, take a look at it and say, oh man, I know that sister got it together. That brother got it together. And that's what it appears on the outside. Ever had some friends or some folk or some family, whatever, you know, you see them, they be dressed clean as the board of hell, like I'm looking here right now. And you go to their house, and you got the... Jesus! You can't believe that they come here to church. If somebody look quiet or got some issues right now, if the Lord is revealing this on you, that's just trying. Listen, all I'm saying is there are some areas you got together and some other areas are total confusion, disorder. And listen, what God wants for us is to have a balance across the board. He wanted good under the skin, above the skin. He wanted like it ought to be in every area of your life. So Satan tries to focus on and keep us distracted from that, that is what God wants us to, and to keep us in that place of confusion and disorder. Now, keep in mind this. God is never in chaos. And if ever he allows himself to be in chaos, he always, listen at this well, in control of it. If he ever gets in chaos, it's because he's controlling it. You go back to the beginning of time and this whole world, it was void and null and all the rest. That meant chaos. It meant it had no form. It had no structure. It was total confusion. There was no light. There was no darkness. There was no day. There was no night. There was no land. There was no. You got to realize there was no structure anywhere. God stepped in the situation and said, let there be. And all of those things that were chaotic before then began to see structure. That's what God does. God is in control of everything. So he speaks that we have experienced in our experiences what he has as his word, as his authority, as his structure. He speaks it into our lives that brings a calm, that brings peace, that brings structure. Where God's word is not, there is chaos. Where God's word is not, there is disorder. God's word is not, there is mass confusion. It's there, and then you put some people who obey his word and you see structure, order start to come in. Things start making more sense then. So I want you to see this next word, providence. It means care or preparation beforehand. Foresight. Foresight. God has foresight. God has already prepared everything, cared for enough to make prior preparations before he ever allowed you to experience what you're going through. This is why God never has to get in a hurry, because he had foresight. He saw it coming before it came. He knew what was on the agenda. Listen, God knows every day's agenda before the day ever gets here. He's reviewed it. He has allowed it or authorized it. So everything, listen at this well, the word has already given clear plan of the fact that God put man's rescue mission in place before he ever made man. Because he saw man was going to fall, was going to miss it, was going to sin, was going to come short. So before he ever made man, he said, let me put a quicker picker upper in the plan to pick him up when he falls. That's why the word says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. But verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly. Why? Because God saw him. And God prepared for that. God says, a righteous man will fall 7 times and get up again. Not so with the wicked. God's already planned that thing. I don't care who you are, tell your neighbor, if you belong to God, you're going to fall sometime. Some of those who can't speak might be in a fallen state right now. I don't care how good you are, how you walk in his anointed. I don't care how much he has gifted you. You're going to fall some. It's a biblical truth. And sad is the saint who thinks that he or she will walk through this life doing everything God's told him to do and not be tripped up by the enemy. But what we know that the enemy doesn't know is that we know how the story ends. And though we fall down, we get up. And somebody may be experiencing some of that tonight, need to know God's got this thing fixed. Now look at the last word we're going to look at as focus word, temporal. One relating to, concerned with, or limited by time. Two, relating to, or concerned with worldly affairs. Three, lasting briefly. Now that's what temporal mean in its different forms, and all of them God's in control of it. Now what's important about you understanding this is the limitation is always on us and not on God. The limitation is always on us, not on God. One of the reasons why we ought not ever plan anything without including God is because we are limited by time. We are limited by situations and by circumstances. And as the word says in James, we ought to say, if the Lord wills. I want to do this if the Lord will. And my grandma used to say, if the Lord say so. Because here's what matters, and I'm going to show you in scripture. God's got the last word. So if God has the last word, what you need to do is go before him and make sure that your plans, your goals, your desires, your dreams line up with this matter that God has to say something about, because you are here and your situation here is temporary. I want to go into the study. Let's look at what the word says, because we're going to be dealing with God's providence in man's temporal affairs. Providence in man's temporal affairs. First Chronicles chapter 29. I want you to turn there with us, if you will. And one of the things that I want us to see, looking at verse 12, David is praying the final prayer of thanksgiving of the blessings of the Lord and the people and how they gave so willingly and so forth. Look at what David says in the 12th verse of the 29th chapter, 1 Chronicles. Both riches and honor come of thee. Who is thee? Of God. And thou, who is thou? God. Have y'all found the scripture yet? So when I ask a question, I expect you to respond to me if you have the scripture. This is a participatory class. All right. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over who? All. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Literally, David is saying, God, you are in control. What we are, who we are, and where we are is because of you. Listen again at what he says. Both riches and honor. Because you do realize you can get riches without honor. You know, everybody that's rich don't have honor to go with that. See, because when you can't tell how you got what you got, and God doesn't get glory out of what you got, though you might have a lot and man look up to that, you need to realize that nothing you've got is worth having if God didn't give it to you. Because when you can say, what I have, the Lord gave it. Where I come from, the Lord brought me. Where I'm on my way, the Lord will bring. Well, listen, what I know, the Lord taught me. When you can declare God in all that you do, then honor comes with that, because God has opened the door, made the way, elevated you. You didn't have to hook and crook. You didn't have to lay and play. You didn't have to scheme and plot. Everything you got, God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, guess who can't take it away from you? The devil can't. And don't think the devil won't try to take away from you what God has given. But you can boldly stand and declare, Satan, take your filthy, nasty hands off of what God has. It's mine. You can't say that about somebody else's. You can't say that. A peace of mind is better than a gold mine gotten the wrong way. I mean, because you can have, listen, just because you got stuff don't mean that you got peace underneath the skin. But if God gave it to you, it's up to God to keep it protected. God is not an Indian giver. God don't give and take back. So if God gave it to you, it's yours now, it's yours later, and it's yours after a while. If God gave it to you. But if you had to hook and crook, and if you had to stoop and bend, I can keep on going, but I think you understand where I'm coming from. When you get in trouble, it's hard to call on God. See, one of the problems that Adam had was he mistook the voice he should have taken as the authoritative voice. But when he got in trouble, guess what he said to God? The woman you gave me. I ain't steal her. I ain't take her from nobody. This is what you gave me here. So when he tried to bring it in, he tried to bring God in under the assumption and the fact that I wouldn't look. I was doing all right till you gave me this woman. You know, me and these animals around here, we had an understanding. You know, y'all don't hear me here. And when he wanted to put the blame on somebody, he said, God, the woman you gave. All I knew is I went to sleep one night and I woke up next. Whoa, man. And there she was. Y'all don't hear me. But listen to this now, because we're talking about God's providence in man's temporal affairs. God's providence, meaning God has already taken care to provide in foresight what he wanted to do in man's temporary situation. Because I'm limited in being able to see the future, don't know beyond the next moment what is ahead, and God does, I don't have a right to plan beyond this moment without God's permission. And when I have God's permission and I have God's approval, then I can trust God to bring it to pass. Leave in my planning process, then I have issues with that that I have asked him, or excuse me, not asked him, that I have planned without asking him coming to pass. That's why so many things we plan don't come to pass, and so many things that we set up as goals we never reach, because we did all of it without including God. And it's easier to include him in the planning process than having to go through all of the disappointment of the plan not coming to pass because we didn't take the proper time to put him first and prioritize our lives the way they ought to. I want to look at verse 14, even though I pull the next scripture up. It says, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things, listen, come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Now, David was saying, listen, God, I know we've done a great job in returning back to you these blessings and gifts, but the truth of the matter is we're just giving you your stuff. It was yours from the beginning, and all we have done is simply said to you, God, here we're giving you back what you gave to us. Now, keep in mind, because nothing we have does not come from God. Everything we have comes from God. So no matter what you God, you can never outbeat him in giving, because what you got came from him in the first place. Brother Eddie, is this battery going down? Is that what's going on with this thing? Keep pulling out, or is this just this dead zone? Okay. All right, let's look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 26. Because again, we're still talking about God's providence in man's temporal. Proverbs 29, verse 26 says this: many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. Many seeks the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. Everybody want to be connected with the potentate and the power and the man who's in charge. You know, it would be, and I don't care what level it's on, there's always somebody who's ruling, somebody who's in charge, someone who's in control. And folk who are not there like to be connected with one who is there. I mean, what a major thing to be able to say the king and I are good friends. You know, I here I am in Baton Rouge, and I say to you, you know, I'm disturbed about some matters I heard. I said, I'm going to call President Bush because we are real close. Matter of fact, I have his cell phone number. I ain't got to go through all of that, you know, bureaucratic red tape. I can call him up and say, look, George, this is John. I of course, I know you know it, but I just want to tell you, I'm having this problem. Now, everybody seeks to be connected with those who are in power, in place, and in position. But look at what the word says. It says, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. Now, here's what he's literally saying. You need to seek to be in connection with and communication with and communion with the man who made the king rather than the king himself. Because if you're in connection and communion and communication with the king maker, after the king is gone,
and they've got to put another king on the throne, you're in connection with the one who made that king. And like he made that king, he's going to make the next king. And you're in control of the one who controls the king. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it ever so as he pleases. Listen, so understand this. You're trying to get in good with the king when you ought to be trying to get in good with the king maker. He's saying take it up another level. It's all right. It's all right to be in, you know, in connection with this. But if you really want a real goal, a real desire, a real, get in touch with the one who made the one that's in position. That's God. Listen again. Ecclesiastes, very familiar passage of scripture. And notice here what it says, because it's talking about God predetermines or providentially sets the events of life. Providentially sets the events of life. It's important for us to know this. God is in control. Look at what the word says. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Two things you need to look at. Season, purpose. And if there is a season, there is a purpose for it. Now listen at this. Every person whom God has called on this planet has both a season and a purpose. Your purpose is never going to come to fruition till your season comes. So for some of you who don't know why I'm here, I got a helpful holy hint for you. It's because it ain't your... You know, a peach tree, a pear tree, a plum tree don't have to wonder what it is, because when its season come, guess what happens? The fruit automatically bud and bloom. I'm trying to help somebody here. If you understand that you have a purpose divinely given by God, you can't miss your purpose in your season. I can become confused about my purpose as I look at somebody else's seat and think that I ought to be doing this and I'm capable of doing that. And why isn't this happening for me? Because you got to understand, some fruit bearing trees don't bear their fruit in the same season. But every one of them has a purpose and a season, and God causes them. Listen, they don't do it on their own. God has dispensationally placed a purpose and a season in it. And it'll be so clear. When Jonah's season came to preach to Nineveh, everybody was confused on the ship but Jonah. It was a working ship, but Jonah was on a cruise.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.